Now we're holding on page 142 in Kedushin, the second line from the bottom, middle of Ois Chavav. We were learning about about mitzvahs and what one mitzvah can accomplish for a person. We talked about the various categories of mitzvahs. We talked about, in particular, the importance of mitzvahs that are good, ben anam lamakom and ben anam lachaveroi. And the last thing we said was that mitzvahs have peiros and averos do not. Meaning, when it comes to mitzvahs, Hashem will reward the person not only for the mitzvah itself, but for Hashem will give him even more reward than the keren, as opposed to averus, unless the avera itself had peiros. For example, as we learned yesterday, Rashi said a person made a chil, an important person made a chil Hashem, and other person learned, and other people learned from him. So that has peiros. So then he'll be punished with the peiros as well, but otherwise not. So now the Gemara continues, another difference between mitzvahs and averus. Machshava tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzvah for lemaisa. A good thought, Hashem joins it together to the action. Meaning, the simple explanation is, in other words, that a person had a machshava, he intended to do a mitzvah, and in the end he wasn't able to accomplish it because of an onus or something. As the Gemara is going to go and give an example of that. So nevertheless, Hashem counts it, Hashem joins it to the Maisa as though the Maisa had been done, because he would have done it had he been able to. We know the famous idea, Yid wants to do what the Eibishter wants, the famous Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin about how you can force a Yid to give a get, about Beis Din can force a Yid to give a get when necessary, because deep down he wants to do the Rotzen of the Eibishter, so Hashem knows that he would have done it had he been able to, and it's only because of an onus that prevented him. With that said, the Alter Rebbe also talks about in Perek Tzayin of Tanya another meaning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzvah for Lemaisa. The Alter Rebbe points out over there, if it just meant that Hashem counts it as though he did it, then the expression should be Malal of Akosav Kilo Asar, or something to that effect. What's Mitzvah for that Hashem joins it to the Maisa? So the Alter Rebbe explains over there, you can have a person who have Yid, and a Yid has a natural Abba and Yira of Hashem, but not always does he bring it out in the open. Sometimes it's concealed, sometimes it's latent inside his mind and inside his heart. Nevertheless, Hashem still mitzarfa, Hashem combines it together with the Maisa, because after all, the Maisa deep down must have been motivated by that. A person doesn't just do a Maisa for no reason. There was that motivation, even though he didn't bring out the Abba and Yira into actuality. So Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Oz Nidbur Yira Hashem Ishareyehu, the Pasuk says that then those who fear Hashem spoke one to the other. By Yakshev Hashem by Yishma, and Hashem paid attention and Hashem listened to what they're discussing. By Yikosev Sefer Zikaron Lefanav, and Hashem, there was written before Hashem a book of remembrance of what they're doing. LeYirei Hashem, for those who fear Hashem, Olachoshvei Shmoy, and for those who think of Hashem's name. So my Olachoshvei Shmoy. So what does that mean? Those who think of Hashem's name. So that's right. Amar Abasi. So Abasi says it means what we were just saying. Afilu Choshev Adam Lasas Mitzvah. A person thought to do a mitzvah. The nenas v'loyasah, but then there was an onus, and he wasn't able to do it. Ma'alol v'kosav kilasah, then posit counts it as though he did it. So on the simple level, that's what it means. Machshava tova, Kodesh Baruch Hu, mitzvah for the Meister. He had the thought to do a mitzvah, and even you have at the beginning of the posit, he spoke with a fellow yid about how to go about doing it. But he wasn't in the end. Circumstances beyond his control prevented him. So therefore, Hashem counts it as though he did it. Marshall has a bit of a discussion over here. First of all, obviously, again, that if he just didn't do it, then it's a problem because he was over on a mitzvah saseh. But now Marshall says the Gemara is going to go on to say that a machshava ra is not like that. Hashem doesn't hold a machshava ra against the person, except the Gemara is going to go on to say with avodah zarah as a special case. But after all, you're talking about that he didn't do the Aveda for one reason or another. In the case of the Aveda, maybe only Hashem doesn't count it, only if in fact there was an onus. Maybe in fact we would say that if he deliberately decided not to do it, then fine. And obviously Hashem is not going to hold it against him. But maybe if the only reason he didn't do the Aveda was because of an onus, maybe Hashem does count it against him. against him. And so Marashah discusses, you have there's the idea that the Gemara really brings from the Gemara in Baba Basra, that there's certain things that a person almost inevitably does certain Averas every day. Here, Avera, a person often thinks of matters of Znus, he doesn't necessarily act on it, but it's one of those things that's very hard for a person, almost impossible for a person to control, that he shouldn't have such thoughts at all. And Iyun Tefillah and Avak Lashon Hara, a person has to take tremendous efforts to avoid those things. So what we mean is, in other words, that it's not even a matter of onus. It's not even a matter of he didn't do these things because of onus. These are fleeting thoughts that flit through his mind, and we're saying that Hashem doesn't hold it against him. And then he explains in that regard a couple of psukim that the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk over here about this machshava ra, and he explains in that vein that the psukim before and after that hint at this idea that Hashem doesn't hold that more than what the Gemara is saying over here, that Hashem doesn't hold against the person is machshava ra. It means, in other words, that even if we're talking about these kinds of things where almost inevitably a person does them, nevertheless Hashem doesn't hold it against him. So the Gemara continues. Machshava ra, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar for lemaisa. So on the other hand, when it comes to a bad thought, a thought of doing an Avera, Hashem does not combine it together with the Maisa, so therefore Hashem does not, in other words, hold the thought against him. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Ovenim Reisi Belibi, if I saw Oven, which is a word meaning falsehood or evil or whatever, in my heart, lo yishma Hashem will not listen to it. So Hashem doesn't listen to and doesn't, so to speak, pay attention to the thoughts that go in a person's heart when he's not actually acting on them. The El Amani Makayim, so then what are we doing with another pasuk that implies that Hashem does? Pasuk says, Hinini Mevi Royal Omazep Fimachavoisam, behold, Hashem says, I'm going to bring evil against this people, the fruit of their thoughts. So we see then that Hashem is holding their thoughts against them. And the answer is, it depends whether the thought actually results in an action. Machshava Sha'osa Peri, a thought that brings about Peiros, that he actually fulfills the Machshava and actually does the Avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Tzar for the Maisa, so then Hashem does combine it with the Maisa, and the result is then that he gets punished not only for the Maisa, but also for the thought. Machshava she'en ma'maisa or pri, but when the machshava doesn't result in a maisa, it doesn't result in a peri, it doesn't result in any practical results, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar for the maisa, then Hashem does not combine it with the maisa, and therefore he doesn't get punished for the maisa, obviously, because he didn't do it, but he doesn't get punished for the machshava either, because Hashem doesn't hold that against him, especially as Marsha is saying, you have, as the Gemara mentions, Baba Basra, it's almost inevitable that a person is going to have Hiru Avera and these other things every day, and therefore so Hashem is not combining it with the Maisa. So Marashah explains that you have the pasuk over there that continues, Ochen Shoma Elikim Hikshib Bekil Tfilosi, Hashem did listen, he paid attention to the sound of my tefillah. So in other words, even though a person is going to have Hiru Avera, and even while he's davening he may be thinking of Averas, nevertheless Hashem doesn't hold the Machshava against him, and Hashem is still willing to accept his tefillah. And then we end up with the last pasuk of that capital, ends off, Baruch Hashem, this is all from capital Samach Vav in Tilim, Baruch Hashem, Asher Lahesit Tfilasi, blessed is Hashem, who did not remove my tefillah from his presence, meaning, even though it may not be motivated by the correct kavanas, and there may even be Hiru Avera and Iyun Tfilah, and so forth, which Iyun Tfilah in that context means a person thinking to himself that, means a person failing to have kavanah and davening. Iyun Tfilah has a couple of different meanings in different contexts. It means a lack of kavanah and davening. Nevertheless, Hashem does not remove his tefillos or tefillos from his presence, and Hashem accepts him. So that's what we're saying, therefore. So if the machshava results in a peri, if it results in an actual action, then Hashem does take a hold it against the person and punish him for it, but otherwise not. Iyun Yaakov points out in this connection, you know, we have a pasuk from Mishlei that we say in Yehi Chavod, Rabbis machshavas v'lev ish v'atzas Hashem hisakum. He says this is hinting at this idea. Rabbis machshavas v'levish, a person has many thoughts in his heart, this fear of avera, which a person almost inevitably has every day. But nevertheless, but that is not going to stand because Hashem doesn't punish him for it. But atzas Hashem, when a person has a thought of doing something good for Hashem, he sukkum, that will stand and that he will get rewarded for the fact that he thought to do the mitzvah, even if in the end he wasn't able to do it. Okay. So the Gemara asks, the Elohad Dichtiv, what about a pasuk that says, we learned this a few days ago, Laman Tfoises Beis Yisrael B'Livam, the pasuk describes your people come to the Navi Yechezkel, and Hashem tells them they're thinking of Avodah Zarah, and they're grasping the house of Yisrael, the Jewish people, are grasping thoughts of Avodah Zarah in their mind, in their hearts. And it also means Hashem is saying, I'm going to grasp them, I'm going to grab them for that, and I'm going to punish them for that. So that implies that even something belibam, something in their hearts, is also punishable. So how does that fit with everything we said so far? And the answer is, Amar Rav Achva Yaakov, Ahu Avodah Zarah Hu Dichtiv, because that's talking specifically about Avodah Zarah. We learned the other day, we had the story of the boy who went up to do Shiloh HaKan and to do Kibbutz Avraham, and the Gemara had discussed over there the possibility that maybe he was thinking thoughts of Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Schus of the Mitzvah didn't protect him. So thoughts of Avodah Zarah are something special. As we learn in a Braisa, Chamura Avodah Zarah, Shekhala Koifer Bok, Moida B'chala Torah Kola. Avodah Zarah is a very serious thing. A person denies Avodah Zarah is as if he's accepting the truth of the whole Torah, and vice versa. So in other words, in short, what we get from what we're saying so far is when it comes to mitzvahs, a person thinks to do a mitzvah and then circumstances beyond him, his control, prevent him from doing it, then Hashem will reward him for that thought. Thoughts of Avera, unless they actually result in action, Hashem will not punish him for it, Hashem will not hold it against him, with the exception of if they're thoughts of Avodah Zarah, even if they don't result in any practical action, nevertheless those Hashem holds against the person and punishes for that. Even Yaakov says that it may well be still that you could still say that mitzad midas adin Hashem would punish him right away, but then Hashem also takes into account midas harachamim and doesn't necessarily punish him for it unless he actually worships it. So the pasuk would be saying, "Man tfoises beis Yisrael b'livam," Hashem would be saying to Yechezkel that really mitzad midas adin, I really ought to punish them on the spot for the fact that they're thinking of Avodah Zarah, but I'm not necessarily going to do that because I do have a midas harachamim as well. The Gemara answer, so that's one answer then. So one answer of when do we say that Hashem holds a person's thoughts against him. So first of all, so again, one answer is when there's payus. Another point is when it's Avodah Zarah. Ula gives a different answer to explain what's possible about pre-machshavoisam. You don't have to say that it's a difference between, as the Gemara had answered, that it depends whether the machshava produces payus or not. You could say that we're talking, even when a person thinks a thought of Aveda, and we're talking about he's done the Aveda again and again. Because then Rashi explains now, so if he's done the Aveda a few times, as the Gemara is going to go on to say over here, if now he thinks of it again, and in the end he doesn't do it, it's not necessarily that he's not doing it because of respect for Hashem, because he's doing tshuva. It may just be because right now he doesn't want to bother. So now when he's thinking that thought again of doing the Aveda, then Hashem can hold that against him still because he's done this Aveda previously, and therefore so Hashem knows that when he's thinking of it, it's not necessarily this time going to lead to action, but it's also not that he's not doing it because he's doing tshuva, but rather just because he doesn't feel like doing it right now or something. He's too lazy to do it or whatever. So Ula Amar Kidrav Huna. So Ula says in that case, the answer to the question about from the pasuk that says pre-machshavoisam is like what Rav Huna says. The Amar Rav Huna, kivin sha'over adam avera, v'shonaba, once a person does an avera and repeats it, then it becomes mutter for him. So the Gemara in there, what do you mean? What do you mean it becomes mutter for him? It's not mutter to him because he did it a couple of times. Elam nasis like a heter. Rather, it means it becomes to him. He feels as though it's mutter. The famous word from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I've quoted it. This piece is brought a few times in Shas. It's brought in Yoma. It's brought in other places. I've quoted before in the Shira a word from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that says once he does it three times, he already feels like it's a mitzvah. Anyway, the point is, there's also a vote that's brought on this. Every time the Gemara brings this throughout Shas, and there's a number of places in Shas where it brings this vote of Rav Huna's, and every single time, it's in Yuman, and Moed Cotton, and in Sota, and so forth, every single time the Gemara does the same thing. It brings it first, Hutraloi, and then it asks, what do you mean Hutraloi? And the answer is Nasus like a Heter. And one explanation of why the Gemara does that is because when you have something startling said like that, then it, it makes an impression on you. Then when you have to understand it, you're asking, how could that be? And you have to understand it, then you absorb the message much more. Meaning, in other words, had the Gemara to set it straight out the correct way. Once a person does it and does it again, he feels as though it's mutter, then the message wouldn't penetrate as deeply. Okay, so you heard it, you know, and then it slides off. But when you hear something strange like that, what are you talking about? And then you have to get the answer, then it penetrates much more deeply, and you really you're more apt to learn the message of what Rav Huna wants to tell you. Anyway, the point is, so Ula is saying, by the same token, then, when the person has done the Aveira a couple of times, now if he thinks to do the Aveira again, but he doesn't end up doing it, not necessarily is that he didn't do it because of a matter of tshuva. It may just be he's not doing it, as Rashi says, because lo hutzrach lo, he doesn't need it right now, and therefore Hashem can still punish him for the thought, because in that case, Hashem can take into consideration that he might well have done it had he decided at this point that I do want it or I do need it. The Gemara continues further on this topic of Averis. It would be better off, a person would be better off if he is going to do an Avera, if he does it in secret, rather than making a Chilul Hashem in public. So Shenemar, as you have another pasuk in Yechezkel, again you have a group of people who came to Yechezkel to ask him. The Gemara explains in Sanhedrin they were arguing now that the Eved sent us into Golos, then we're like a divorced woman or like a sold slave. We have no more responsibilities towards the Eved. And Yechezkel tells him, if not so, I'm ruling over you no matter what. And then Yechezkel says as follows to them: Va'atem beis Yisrael koyam an Hashem, you house of Yisrael. This is what Hashem says: Ish gilulav l'chu avoidu, each of you go ahead and worship your getchkes, and afterwards you're going to see what's going to happen if you don't listen to me. So poshut pshat is, in other words, it's like one of those things. You know, sure, go ahead and do what you want. You're going to see what the consequences are soon enough. But then he continues, but do not desecrate my holy name. So in simple pshat, in other words, Yechezkel is telling them, listen, you know, like if you're pretending to be Frum Yidden, and you're coming to me with questions about how the Eibishter runs the world, you guys are worshipping Avodah Zarah anyway. Show what you really are, show that you're actually worshipping Avodah Zarah, don't pretend to be what you're not. But now the Gemara is saying that another angle on that is that the Navi is telling them, if you're going to do Avodah anyhow, at least do them in private, don't do them in full public view, where you're making a Chilul Hashem. So now there is, on the other hand, you have a piece elsewhere where the Gemara talks about there's a difference for example, the Gemara in Bava Kamma that says a ganav is worse than a gazlan, and therefore he's penalized more because a gazlan is not afraid of boss of Adam or of Hashem, whereas the ganav is afraid of people but not of Hashem. So it cuts both ways. You can have sometimes a person does an Aveira where in a way it is the less worse thing to do it in public, like the Gazlan, where there he's not putting the honor of people above the honor of Hashem, but here we're saying, on the other hand, sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes the Aveda is going to be done. It's better that it be done in private, and then at least there's not a Chilul Hashem. So the Gemara says in this connection, Amar Rabbi Loi Hazakin, Im Roya Adam Sheyitzra Misgaber Olav. If a person sees that his Yetzahara is overpowering him, and he feels it's out of control, Yelech L'Mokem She'in Makirin Oisai, he should go to a place where they don't know who he is. The Yulbash Shchurim, he should dress in black clothing. In those times, black clothing was something that only people who were in mourning or in nidui or whatever would wear. The Iskasa Shchurim, and cover himself with black. So in other words, you have Yobash would be his actual clothing, Yiskasa would be like his coat or whatever, the Yasik commercial Bibli Chafetz, and then do whatever his heart desires, Val Yechal Hashem Shemayim Befahesia, and not make a Chilul Hashem in public. So Rashi explains that the wearing black and so forth is meant to make him feel more contrite. Again, a person back then would wear black only if he's like in a really bad way, as an oval or a menuda or something like that. So first of all, then that's likely to make him feel more humble, and therefore less likely to do the Aveira. And then Rashi goes on to say, if he does do the Aveira, then he doesn't seem important in people's eyes, because again, when he's wearing black, people think that he's a bum or something, and therefore nobody's going to pay much attention to what he's doing, therefore he's not going to make a Chilul Hashem. Now, though, the way the Gemara phrases it, the Yasa commercial libre chofetz, makes it sound like at that point, fine, let him go ahead and do the Aveira. Tosfos brings from Aveira Chananel, absolutely not. So Rabbi Loi is not saying you're allowed to do the Aveira in that case. All Rabbi Loi is saying, as a practical matter, a person goes, travels to a faraway place where nobody knows him. You know, it's not like nowadays you just, you know, you go hop on a plane. Then we're talking about, you know, travel was very, very wearying. So that and the wearing the black clothes between all of that is going to break his Yetzirah, and the result is he won't end up doing the Aveira. So in other words, Rabbi Loi is saying, says Rabbi Chananel, when it says V'yasek Mothu Shalubi Chavetz, doesn't mean at that point go ahead and do the Aveda. It means at that point, by the nature of things, his heart won't want to do the Aveda anymore because he'll be in such a state that he won't want to do it anymore. On the other hand, actually, Marsha points out, this is one of the places where the Gemara brings this as in Chagiga, and there actually Tosfos brings that explanation from Ben Chananel, but rejects it. And says that actually, no, if you look at the context of what Rabbi Loi is saying, he is actually saying, at least at that point, the less worse option would be for him to do the Aveda rather than to stay back home and be doing it for Feheske and cause a chilul and cause a chilul Hashem. So Marsha says it's a little bit of both, really. If he really can't, the Gemara is going to say in another line, if he really feels he can't control his Yetzirah, then the least worst option is to do it in secret. But this that we're saying, that he should wear black clothes and so on and so forth, is more, as Rabbeinu Chananel is saying, is more an Eitzah to try to keep his Yetzirah under control. So it's both, really. In other words, he should take these steps of wearing black and going to a different place, etc., and see if that breaks his Yetzirah. And if it doesn't, then the idea would be, then at least if he does the Aveda, at that point, it's kind of the least worst option rather than staying home and then making a Chilul Hashem. So the Gemara says, is that so? That you're telling me that the least worst option is to do the Aveda in secret? Now, like we just said about the Ganav and the Gazlan, on the other hand, you have that then a person is showing a lack of respect for Hashem, because you should realize Hashem is always watching him regardless. And, Bahatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Kol Shalei Chosa Kvod Koinoi, a person who doesn't have any regard for the honor of Hashem, for the honor of his owner, of his maker, of Hashem, Roi Lo Shalei Bola Olam, it would have been better off for him if he had never come into the world. In Chagiga, actually, where this is brought, the Gemara says it a little differently. Not Ra'ui, but Rasui. It would have been Rachmanos on him more to not come into the world. So Mahi, what is this when we say that a person doesn't have regard for the honor of Hashem? Marsha points out, by the way, you know, you have at the end of Pirkei Avos, last week's Pirkei Avos, the last mission was Kol Ma Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything that Hashem created was for his kavod. So if a person doesn't have honor for Hashem, if Hashem doesn't have regard for Hashem's kavod, then what's he doing? Having been born in the first place, then so to speak, Hashem created him for no purpose. So Mahi, what is the definition of somebody who doesn't have regard for Hashem's honor? Rabba Oymazam Stakob Akeshes. Rabba says it means somebody who stares at the rainbow. The Gemara explains in Chagiga that the Shekhinah appears in the rainbow. We actually find in Yechezkel, in his description of the Ma'aseh Merkava, he analogizes the glory, the illumination, the glow of Hashem's presence over there to the rainbow. So therefore, Hashem's Shekhinah appears in the rainbow. So therefore, you're not supposed to stare at it. To stare at it shows like you don't consider the Shekhinah worthy of love. By Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, by the snare, by Yasterpana, he hid his face to not look directly at David. So a person looks at the rainbow, then he's not doing that.
Real quick little glance is okay. So a little look
is okay, and then you make the bracha, but not to stare at it. Yeah. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Zeha Over, one interesting idea of why is the Shekhinah compared to the rainbow of all things, and why does it appear in the rainbow? There's an explanation from one of the Rishonim, I don't remember now who says, in a rainbow, you can't really tell, you have the colors fade into one another. You can't tell exactly where one begins and one ends, and therefore that serves as a metaphor for the fact that we can never fully understand a lacus. You can't really say about anything of a lacus. It starts here and it ends here. Rabbi Yosef says that the definition of what the Braisa is saying, somebody who doesn't have regard for the honor of Hashem, is somebody who does an Aveda in secret. And again, because the idea is when he does it in public, then it shows, fine, it means he's not showing regard for Hashem, but he's not showing regard for people either. He's just showing he's not afraid of anything. Whereas when he does it in secret, he's acting as though the covet of people is more important than the covet of Eibishter. So in that case, then, how does that fit with what we're saying that It's better with what Rabbi Bohu was saying, that better we should be doing the Aveda in secret, and what Rabbi Loi is saying, at least according to one understanding of Rabbi Loi, that if he's going to wear the black clothing and so forth, then he can go ahead and do the Aveda. Based on this, it sounds like to do that would be the worst option. And the answer is, like Kasha, there's no contradiction. It depends whether he's able to control his Yetzirah or not. If he's able to control his Yetzirah, then what is he doing? Doing the Aveda in secret rather than in public, then that's worse, because then it shows that he's afraid of public opinion, but he's not afraid of Hashem watching him. But if his Yetzirah is raging so much that he really feels he can't control it, then the least worst option is to do it in secret. He's going to be doing the Aveda anyway, basically, in that case, so then he might as well do it in secret, and at least that way he's not also making a chilul Hashem. Okay. Continues the Gemara for further on the topic of chilul Hashem. Tnan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah, Ein makifin b'chilul Hashem. We're not makif, and the Gemara is going to explain now what makif means when it comes to chilul Hashem, echad shogeg ve'echad mezid, whether he's b'shogeg or whether he's b'mezid. Now, what Mishnah is this? Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hanano, but this refers to a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So you have this Mishnah in Perek Dalet, Pirkei Avos, Kol Machalel Shem Shemayim Baseser, a person who does a Chilul Hashem, in secret, Nifroi Mimenu B'Golui, then Hashem will punish him in public, so that everybody is aware of what he did. But the fact is, Tosfos says, but really you don't have the word Makifin over there, right? And that's the central point over here. The Gemara is going to be discussing what the word Makifin is. So Tosfos says it may be a Braisa, even though it says Tznan Hossam, and usually that introduces a Mishnah, but once in a while it's used for a Braisa. In any case, so what is this word Makifin? So my ein makifin. Omer mazutra she'ein oisin kechen v'ni hamakif. It means like this. One of the meanings of makifin or hakafa is like when a storekeeper gives credit. So you go and buy by the store, and you have things put down on your account over there, and eventually the storekeeper collects the whole amount from you at one time. So now, according to Mazutra's explanation, we're saying that Hashem does not do that with Chilul Hashem. A person does a Chilul Hashem, Hashem punishes him right away for it, rather than waiting to collect it like a storekeeper might do that. So that's one explanation. Marsha doesn't like that explanation, because then Fakert, if Hashem is punishing him on the spot, that's better rather than letting it mount up to a huge thing. We find in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah that contrasts the way the Eibishter deals with the Jewish people versus the Goyim. The Goyim, Hashem doesn't punish them for every little thing they do. He waits until it mounts up to a huge amount, until their sar is filled up, and then boom, they're gone. As opposed to the Jewish people, Hashem collects the payment from them little by little, and that way we would never get so bad that we're subject to destruction, Rahman al-Islam. So here, if you're telling me that Hashem doesn't do that by Chilul Hashem, Hashem punishes him on the spot, then isn't that better for him? Somehow Shah instead brings from the Oruch, like this, for example, again, with a storekeeper, what's going to happen? So you went into the store and you bought something that's worth X amount of dollars, you're going to have to pay him that number of dollars. So in other words, in terms of our accounts for Hashem, that would mean, for example, a person did an Aveda, and eventually he's going to do a mitzvah, and that will compensate for the Aveda. So now, with other Aveiras, then the Oruch is explaining what Ramaz Dutra means, is with other Aveiras, Hashem is willing to do that. Fine, I'm not going to punish you right away for the Aveda. I'll wait and see if you do a corresponding mitzvah. And then one will kind of cancel out the other. But with Chilul Hashem, Hashem doesn't do that. So that's one explanation. Ma Brei D'Ravina says another meaning of Ein Makifin B'Chilul Hashem Loi Mashim Oseh Shkulo Machras. It means that, let's say, the person is exactly balanced, half mitzvahs, half averis, and then on the averis side is something of Chilul Hashem, then that outweighs, that causes the side of averis to be weighed down. In which case, Rashi says, in that case, in the word Makifin, on one of the meanings of the word Makifin is to compare one thing to another. So like this, for example, you have a balance scale. One way of telling, how can you tell if it's exactly balanced? One way is you look at it and see if the pans look balanced. So now, Hashem doesn't do that, and instead, they're automatically, so to speak, the side with Averus will be weighed down, so there's no need to compare one side with the other, because as the result of being there being a Chilul Hashem there, is that it drags down that side. So that's another meaning of Ein Makifin B'Chilul Hashem. Okay, a couple of other things in this regard then. So first of all, Tosfos had brought up the point that Rabbeinu Hananel identifies the Mishnah that we're quoting over here as the Mishnah in Ovis, Echad Shogig Vechad Mezid B'chil Hashem, but Tosfos was bothered by where's the Ein Makifin. The Gemara has just explained two different explanations of Ein Makifin, but you don't find that in Pirkei Ovis. So Mar Shah talks about that. Let's consider, what does it mean when the Mishnah says, what does that mean? The person did a Chilul Hashem in secret, then Hashem is going to punish him openly. So Maharsha explains like this. Openly means that Hashem will make it very clear that his punishment is the result of that Chilul Hashem. So that fits very well with the first explanation over here, with both explanations, really. In other words, that Hashem is going to punish him on the spot. In other words, if Hashem delayed the punishment for some time, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't necessarily know to be able to tie the punishment to the Aveda. But when it happens right away, then therefore, so then people understand, and people understand the Midah Kenegan Midah. And then the other idea is also, as far as the Makifin, as far as comparing the balance scales, so Maharsha says, again, similar to what the Aruch is, understands it in light of what the Aruch is saying, that Hashem doesn't wait to see, well, will there be another mitzvah that will go on the mitzvah side? No, Hashem is going to punish him right away, and again, the idea being, Nifroin Mimed B'Goli, Hashem is going to make it clear right away to everybody he was punished for that Chilul Hashem, and that way people will realize and take a lesson from it. Maharsha also adds, by the way, in this connection, he says, "B'chlau, what does that Mishnah mean in Pirkei Avos? Echad shogig ve'echad mezid b'chilul Hashem." So it's saying whether a person did a chilul Hashem, b'shogig or b'mezid, either way, it's the same thing. Maharsha says, "Is that fair?" The fact is, a shogig is always treated less stringently than a mezid. How could it be fair of Hashem to be judging him equally stringently either way? Maharsha says, that's not what the Mishnah means. Obviously, the shogig is going to get a lesser punishment. What we mean is, this methodology that the Gemara is saying over here, that Hashem is going to punish him on the spot, applies where the shogig or mezid. The actual degree of punishment, of course, is going to be less for shogig than it would for mezid.
Before what you said about the goyim, Hashem waits and waits and waits and watches, and finally...
And then finally, that's it. Yeah.
They're not full right now. They're not filled up with all those problems and all those problems.
Different ones are full to different degrees, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Onward. The Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan. A person should always consider himself as though he's exactly half guilty and half innocent, exactly balanced. Awesome mitzvah achas, and now if he does one mitzvah, ashrav, then how fortunate is he? Shechriyatma the kafschus, that now he weighed himself down to the side of merit. Over avera achas, and if he does one single avera, oiloi, woe to him. Shechriyatma the kafchoyva, that now he weighed himself down to the side of demerit, to the side of guilt. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'choyte echad yabed toiva harbe, as the pasuk says, one sinner can cause a lot of good to be lost. So we're understanding the word choyte over here to mean a chet, v'shvochet yechidi shechota, one single avera that he did, ovad menatoivas harbe, he may cause himself to lose a lot of goodness. Maharsha points out, we learned a few days ago, based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that when a person is in fact exactly half balanced, then Hashem has Rachmanos on him, then Hashem uses the midah of Rav Chesed and tilts the scale to the side of good, but nevertheless, he's still considered a Beinoni, he's still not considered a Tzad, he's still not considered a Tzadik. So he still needs to keep in mind that if he's exactly half balanced, he's having to depend on the Eibishter's Rav Chesed, and you don't want to be in that situation. Better that you should be on you should be legitimately on the side of mitzvahs. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says it differently. So first of all, actually, Rashi says that even in the Tanakhama's statement, even though the Tanakhama is talking about in terms of the individual person, Rashi actually explains that it's also referring to the world at large. The person has to consider himself as though he's exactly half balanced, but in addition, you also have to consider as though the world at large is exactly half tzaddikim slash chassidim and half rishoyim. And then he himself is exactly half balanced as well. So now, when he does one mitzvah, not only is he putting himself on the side of good, but now, because of him, now the world has a majority of tzaddikim, and therefore he's bringing much good to the world, and vice versa if he does one aveira. So according to Rashi, in other words, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon is going to mention the matter of the world at large. According to Rashi, it comes out Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon is not arguing with the Tanakhama. He's basically just restating the same thing in other words. So Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, I'm Lafisha Olam Nidin Achar Rubai. The world, after all, is judged according to its majority. And the individual also is judged according to what he has a majority of mitzvahs or averus, keeping in mind, of course, as the Rambam says, that it's not just a numerical count, only Hashem knows how much each mitzvah and how much each avera weighs as. Anyway, so he does one mitzvah, Ashrav, how fortunate is he, Shechriyas Atzmai, that's called Olam Kula Lachaschos, that he weighed down himself and the entire world to the side of merit, Over Avera Achas, and he does one single Avera, Oiloi, woe to him, Shechriyas Atzmai, that's called Olam Kula Lachaschos, to the side of demerit, Shenem of Achoyte Echad, Yabin Torva Harbe, Beshvilchet Yechidi, Shechotazeh, because of this one sin that this person did, Over Mimenu Mikola Olam Torva Harbe, and he lost for himself and for the whole world a lot of goodness. So according to Rashi, it comes out again, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon is not really saying anything different than the Tanakhama, he's just spelling it out in more detail. The Tanakhama had mentioned the individual, but according to Rashi, after all, that individual has to further consider himself as though without him it's exactly half tzaddikim and half rishayim. There are mafoshim who explain that actually they are separate things, that the Tanakhama is not saying you have to consider the world at large. The Tanakhama is saying it's enough to consider the effect on you yourself, and Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon is adding the effect on the world at large. According to the Tanakhama, you don't necessarily have to consider that the world is exactly half tzaddikim and half rishoyim. The Rambam brings like Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, and this is the famous expression, Ichriya Satsma Ves Kololum Kafskos, Vagorum Lev Lahem, Shua Vatsala, or Vatslocha, which the Rebbe, as we know, you support that innumerable times in Sichas. Continues the Braisa. Reb Shimon Ichor Yomer, Afilut Tzadik Gomer Kol Yomov, if you have a person who was a Tzadik Gomer his entire lifetime, Umorad Bachroina, and at the end of his life he rebels against Hashem, Ibid Eser Rishonis, then he loses out the schar for his earlier mitzvahs. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Tzidkas Tzadik Lo Satzilenu B'Yom Pishay, the righteousness of the Tzadik will not save him on the day when he does, when he rebels against Hashem. And vice versa, says Reb Shimon Ben Yochai, that for the Rosh HaGomer Kol Yomav, even a person was a Rosh HaGomer his entire life, but also Tshuva Bachroina, and at the end he does Tshuva. And by the way, you know, you have, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, the highest level of Tshuva is when he's doing Tshuva at a time and place where he still could have done the Aveda and holds himself back. If you have he waits until he's old and weak and anyway can't do the Aveda, then it's a lesser form of Tshuva, but nevertheless it's still a Tshuva, and the Eibishter still accepts it. Ein Maskir, Moshum Resha, or Shuv Risha, that Hashem doesn't mention to him by the Yom HaDin, Hashem doesn't mention to him any of his rishus. Shenema, as Yechezkel continues, v'rishas ha-rosha lo yikosha bo b'yem shuvah mirishay, the wickedness of the rosha, he won't stumble in it on the day when he does shuvah from his wickedness. So the question is, maybe the Rosha, he did Shuvah, fine. We can understand that Hashem is not gonna hold his Averis against him. But the Tzaddik rebelled. The question is, why did he lose the schar for all his mitzvahs? V'nevakim mechtzabonis and mechtzachuyas. At worst, he should be, okay, fine, he loses some of his mitzvahs. So now he should be considered that he has half mitzvahs, half Averis. Why are we saying that he loses the entire reward for all of his mitzvahs? So the answer is Amar Shlokish B'Toya Al Rishonis, because the kind of rebellion we're talking about over here is that he regrets the things that he originally did. He says to himself, "Why did I ever bother doing those mitzvahs? What did I ever accomplish with them?" So then, in that case, it's almost like an anti tshuva. So then, it wipes out all of those mitzvahs. But otherwise, yeah, if he starts doing Averis, then yeah, the mitzvahs that he did so far will be credited to him, and then the Averis will be dealt with in their turn. And vice versa. We're saying that Russia does Shuvah is the same kind of thing. He regrets that he ever did those evil things, so therefore the slate is wiped clean, and they're not mentioned to him in the Yom HaDin. And of course, as we have the famous Gemara in Yoma that says that if he does Shuvah Me'ava, then they even become Zechoyos for him.
16.
Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach HaGa'ola, Ches Elul. So the Rebbe said in a sicha, when it comes to Geula Asidya, when we have the schus to see Mashiach's face for the first time, most likely we're going to have to say the Baruch HaShech Yonu. After all, a Kav HaChoyma, you say HaShech Yonu when you see a friend that you haven't seen for 30 days, so I'll ask Kam of a Kam when we see Mashiach for the first time, then we're going to be saying HaShech Yonu on him.
Amen.
Okay, continuing topics of Elul. We started talking about yesterday how you say slichas during the days before Rosh Hashanah. As we know, the chazan puts on a talis before he begins Ashrei. If he's putting it on at night, then you have a suffix whether we should make a bracha on it. So the recommended procedure then the Kitz Shulchan Aruch says is borrow the talis from somebody else, and then that way there's no question of whether you should make a bracha on it or not. This is by the first night, what you're saying in the middle of the night. The other days when you're saying in the morning, which is anyways mantalis, and there's no problem of making a bracha on it.
Also, the shul is the same thing, yeah?
Yeah, so in other words, so he's saying that he shouldn't wear his own or a shul talis, because either way, then he'd have to make a bracha on it. Whereas if he borrows it from somebody else, then he can get away without saying a bracha. Then he goes on to say, if you don't have a talis at all, then the chazan can daven without the talis. Then you have the Yesh Noyagim, that there are places where they have the minhag, that the one who davens Slichas by the Yomud also davens the other tefillas by the Yomud, and in that case you have precedence even over an Oval and other such people. Another din in that connection. As far as Slichas is, you're supposed to stand during the whole Slichas. If you can't, a person finds it too difficult, then at least you have to stand by the Kael Melech and by the Yud Gil Midas. And then you have it at one point in Slichas. You say vidui, and after that, that's much like the regular vidui that we say year round. Although our minhag is that interestingly, we have when we do Nefilas Apayim, we do Kapitel Chafei. Now Nusach Ashkenaz is that you actually do Kapitel Vav. Rachem Chana Chatosu Lefanacha Hashem Al Ba'Apfel Sechicheni. In Slichas we take in Slichas before Rosh Hashanah and also Tzum Gedalia, we're following Minag Lita in that, so we actually do that one, but we don't do Nefilas Apayim doing it. Nefilas Apayim is only when we're doing Tepetel Chafei, only when we're doing the Dovid Adlech Hashem Nafiasa, which is part of regular Tachnun.